Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
I love Thanksgiving.
Amen.
You know, one of the things we've missed as a church is to see the power of Thanksgiving. And I'll finish with that. There is power in Thanksgiving.
Yes.
This other day I was saying, Lord, when you read about kings, again and again, God is referring to David, the man after my own heart. You are not like your father, David. David did this, David did that. I said, what was the secret of this man? And when you read the 150 Psalms, you will see how thankful David was always. He was always thankful. He was a man full of thanksgiving.
Amen.
That was the secret. We live at a time when people are not grateful. We are always looking for tomorrow. But that's not the way we should be. When we started, and I'll start by sharing this testimony quickly. When we started this month, which is our month of prayer and fasting, one day I was reading the scripture and I came across a scripture that says, the Lord says he will do something for you, which if he told you, you would not believe. So I read it and I went, okay. Then I went back and said, wait a minute, what did that scripture say? I went and read again and said, the Lord will do something new for you. I'm paraphrasing. So that if he told you, you would never believe. I said, okay. Then I discovered, no, the Lord is talking to me. So I said, Lord, all right, let's see it. Do it. You know, half of me, God forgive us, Pastor Mandela. Half of me, I'm like, that one is as fool. All right? But God hears even that. And a few days later, the HR for my former company calls me because my wife's car hasn't been moving for 1.5 years. It's been parked. And with fees and everything for children, I just told her, you know what? We have two cars, let's use one. It's not like we have zero cars. So we parked it. And I tried to fix it. Hey, these things, my city's bills, when they decide to sleep, to bring them back to life, they chew a lot of money. So I said, Lord, but so I've done everything. The engine is back because so many things that happened to the car. Long story short, I'm feeling, all right, I told the mechanic, okay, everything, it's cranking. And I'm excited. So now we get to the Lord, he says, you need to change the suspension. I said, what did you say? I said, how much? The figures he mentioned, I just said, the Lord bless you. To my wife, I said, you know what? I don't know. But you know what? If we stress over this, I'll get sick. So let's just trust God. So back to my story, the HR calls me. He says, Moffat, when you left this company, I worked for this company from 1994 to 1998. He says, you left in a hurry. You never collected your pension. So I didn't even know. So I'm like, and he says, over the years, it's grown. I'm like, okay. He says, it's good money. And then he starts the process. At one time, it got stuck. I gave up again. He says, no, I'll fight for you. When that came, it was the money we needed for the car, but not all. Now, God didn't stop there because God surprised me. I would have never in my life thought there was some money I had. I sit here when Pastor McDuff said, we will fly. Most of you may not realize God was doing something to my life because I've served in church since I was 9. It's the first time a local church flies me. But God was communicating to me something. I'll tell you. That's it. If we don't see, we miss out what God is doing. God was telling me, I'm about to do things. Did you ever imagine this can happen to you? I said, no, Lord. He says, I'm just starting.
Amen.
So God does a lot of things. We just need to open our eyes. Psalms 100, our topic today, Thanksgiving. And I'm saying I'll be quick. Psalm 100 verse 4, the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, in Psalm 103 verses 1 to 5, the Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Some say, praise his name. Verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, very quickly, this psalm was written by David. I've told you, David is a man who was full of thanksgiving. When you look at Psalm 103, at the beginning, it is a psalm Psalm 103, actually, it's a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart from what the Bible tells us. David was a shepherd who God called and anointed to be king over Israel. By the time he's writing this, he's now king. He never forgot where God took him from. If you remember how he got anointed, if I may just remind you, Prophet Samuel, the Prophet Samuel, who grew next to the Ark of the Covenant, the man who God called the first time he runs to Eli and he says, "Did you call me?" Eli says, "No." The second time, and then the third time, Eli says, "That's God. Next time he speaks to you, you should say, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord." That one.
Yeah.
That one who did great things.
Yeah.
When he was sent to anoint a king, he told Jesse. Jesse aligned kings, and Jesse forgot one son. His name was David. He was looking after the sheep. Your best friend, George, BFF, the Bible says he took them, they went and they sacrificed, he dressed them up ready so that one of them gets anointed, but he had forgotten one. Samuel stands and looks at these guys with their six packs and everything. Samuel goes, a good king is going to come out of here. Whilst God is just like, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And then when he starts calling one by one, God says, no, no. At one time, Samuel says, this is the one. God says, Samuel, Samuel. I do not look at the physical or the appearance. I look at the heart. No. And then all of them have been called, and Samuel was puzzled. He goes to Jesse, he says, that's when he remembers. We are not going to sit down until he comes. So when he comes, thanks God. Whilst you are somewhere, whilst you are alone, God remembers you. When no one mentions your name, God mentions you. That's God. You cannot stop the purposes of God. He handpicks.
Amen.
And when he picks, you can't stop. It will happen.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who is saying what, whether you're empty or what, but if God says you are next, you are next. I love God for that. And David appeared. You can imagine his brothers. I'm sure he must have been shocked when he walked in. Everyone is nice and dressed. He looks at himself.
Jesus.
And I'm sure someone is looking at this guy and is thinking, and that's when God says, yes, yes, that's the one. Even someone was puzzled. Okay, I think I don't understand you, but you are spoken. Come here, man, you are the one. David remembered that.
Amen.
That's why when he brought in the Ark of the Covenant, he was dancing and his Lord set off. His wife, who was son, who was daughter of Saul, who was the first king, you should go and read the Bible. David and Amos out here. My dear, I don't care. And brings us around. You might not have a child, there's so many miracles that God did for him, and he would be thankful for that. When you look at the first verse of Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being praise his name. It is what is called synonymous paralism. Jews, when they write in a poetic form. Okay, so Psalms is one of the poets in the Bible. Alright? When the West write poems, they rhyme words. That is this way. And that's how I'm manga and the Wamilegan. Agamanian, I'm going to rhyme words. That's why I changed my mother and my friend was all that. And the bad. And the card. Because they want that card. But people from the East, because from the Middle East, where Israel is, they rhyme ideas. So they repeat ideas. And I have news for you. Malawi Gunos, we also rhyme ideas. That's rhyming words. So we are like them, though we are trying to copy the words. That's another message for them. Alright? So why repeat the idea? When you repeat the idea, you want to stress the importance of that. So when David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and repeats everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. He wants to say, I am serious. My worship, my praise to God is not going to be a lip service. I'm a musician. And I've experienced times where I've led worship, I'm leading worship, but to be frank, my heart is somewhere else. God doesn't want that. So God wants praise that comes from you, from your spirit. That's what David is saying. And everything that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, when you go to verse 2 to 5, the Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. That's about Pastor McDuff has preached. He forgives all our sins and remembers them no more. He's done the job for me. He talked about the East and the West. I'll just add on that. There is what scientists and others call the East-West continuum. So today, if you go and look for the North Pole, you will find it. People go to the North Pole. You've heard it. It's there. And South Pole is also there. Have you heard of anyone who went to the East Pole? No. No, think about it. Or have you heard of anybody who went to the West Pole? You know the reason why? The East-West continuum. What they're trying to say, if you go east, you keep going. There is no stopping. If you go west, you just keep going. That's why scientists came up with a theory to say, you're just going round. So it doesn't have a start, it doesn't have a stop. That's why God said, as the east is from the west, your sins I remember no more. Because you will never find the east, you will never find the west. Amazing.
Amen.
But you see, you will also see that David says, in verse 2, where he's talking about forget not his benefits. When you look at the benefits God has given you and me in the new covenant, which Pastor McDuff also preached, I'll just remind you, we are saved and we have, God bless you, Pastor McDuff, we are saved and we have eternal life. Amen. You know, one of the things we take so light in church is that we are saved and we have eternal life. One day God made me think, and I've said that before, even here. People who've heard me preach, I like saying that. Sometimes I like to sit and just think. You know, if you live on earth for a long time, you will hit 100. And trust me, the day they will be saying, if you are the one who hit 100, my mom passed on last year. She was 83. She had lived her life. Sanami, she lived a full life. So I think of those who get to 90, who come after 100, I don't you know, you, especially today. But you know, I want you to imagine, in heaven, there is no end. So you live up to 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million. Now, compare 1 million years in heaven with 100 years. The fraction is so small, but it doesn't stop it. You will reach 1 billion, 1 trillion, then 1 zillion, the power zillion, the answer to the power zillion. Compare that with 100. It's nothing.
Yeah.
You have that.
Wow.
That's the benefit God has given you. After this life, you get into that life. Sometimes when I see musicians and artists and other people getting awards, how colorful the events are, how beautiful they are, when they go and get that accolade and everyone is clapping hands for them, the satisfaction which just lasts for a moment. I think of the day when we go to heaven, the Bible says, we will be given those accolades, who you will have them for eternity.
Amen.
Those are the benefits God has given us. So we should not forget, we are a royal priesthood. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we reign with Him.
Amen.
We are co-heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance with Christ. The Bible says those who have believed, He's given them the power to be called the children of God. God is your Father. That's why the Bible says, because we have been imputed with the righteousness of Christ, we can boldly go to the Father, to God Almighty, and say, Abba, Father. In Hebrew, when you say Abba, it's the same way here we say, in English, they say Dad. We are children of God. Yet most of us don't even realize we are children of God. We wake with our heads down, yet we are children of the Most High. You should see me now, my dad, and I'm president. I'll give you a homework. And stand there, and I'm president, what we're making. The other day, I was preaching, I was saying, those children, when they go shopping, they have no idea that half the people they may see, that most of the, or a good number of the people they see in shops are not necessarily shoppers. They are CIA snipers, and it is following them. So that if anything tries anything, especially for children of an American president, they are ready. The Bible says He commands His angels to guard over you. You have no idea. Angels are with you.
Amen.
Those are the benefits that God has given us. David goes on, he says, who heals all our diseases? I will give you testimony after testimony. I am sure if I would ask you here, everyone sitting here has been sick one time, and God came through for us and healed us. Some of us, we got to a point where we thought we were saying bye-bye. And then the following day, God gives you life again. And then you wake up, you go like, oh, I never knew life is this precious. You know when you get sick and you get to a point where you can't eat? Not because you don't want to eat, but the appetite has left. I got to that point. The appetite leaves. Everything leaves. Literally, you feel, I am going. And then God miraculously comes with His healing power and heals you. I remember the following day when I got better. And I began to say, my house, but I mean, I'm going to see my. That's when I realized, oh, thank you, Lord, life is precious.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Life. So God heals our diseases.
Amen.
How many times has God healed us? We can see testimony after testimony.
Yes.
You see, David would look back at the times he was sick and say, Lord, thank you. You healed me.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible also says,
amen,
who redeems you?
Amen.
Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns? And crowns you with love and compassion.
Amen.
He's the one who redeemed us from death. Through Christ Jesus, who died for us on the cross. Jesus, who loves us unconditionally. Man loves you, but man loves you conditionally. But Jesus loves you unconditionally. He redeemed us. And not only once, He continues to redeem us. Pastor Mandafa, Manina Muti, which is true, wouldn't have changed it. You know, sometimes you blunder and then manamo. Sadana Kunyadi, the good. Then God literally comes and snatches you. That's what David is talking about. You redeem me. At one time, David writes and says, Father, you are always there for me. Even in my foolishness, when I sinned, and I was at the doorstep of death, you came and snatched me.
Amen.
So who redeems your life? And then, in verse 5, he says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed? You know, church, it is only God who satisfies us. God gives true satisfaction. And why is it so? It's because God is good. And He only gives you good things. The nature of God, that's why we say God is good
all the time.
And that is
His nature.
There is no bad in God. So whatever God will give you, it's good. No, Pastor, when God takes you through a storm, it's because He wants to train you, He wants to teach you. He Himself walks with you. Our problem is that we take ourselves into storms, but okay, not God. Then the storm. But because He's a loving God, I'm going to observe the just like Manoga Musa, you say, but when God wants you to go through a thing, it's for a reason. There are lessons to be learned.
Amen.
That's why He will allow you to do that. So whatever God brings to us is good and God satisfies.
Amen.
I want you to know that the things that God gives us are pure. They sustain our lives, both our spiritual life and even our physical life. This world can give you things, but the things of the world, I've come to learn at 53, they never satisfy. And I'll explain briefly, church. I love technology. You know, today if you go and buy the latest Samsung S22, which is about 2 million, when you walk out of the shop, you feel satisfaction. It feels good. You play with it and it does things. You go, wow. You show it to your friends and all of them go, oh, wow. But after 6 months, it doesn't wow you anymore. Things of this world. And then, whilst it's not wowing you, before you even realize, you hear, there is Samsung S22. Then that guy you showed an S22 comes with his S22. You start panicking, you sell that one, you top up, you buy S23, and for a short time, you'll be satisfied, then you hear there is S22. I once drove a Mercedes Benz, which was the latest, when I was here. But today it looks very old. There have been 4 models after that. Things of this world, I'm not saying we should not get good things, no. But as children of God, when He gives us good things, even when He gives you that S22, you must be satisfied. And you must be grateful. Our problem, the problem of the world, is that the world, I told you, is not grateful. God is looking for people who are grateful. A grateful person will thank God for what He has given him, number one. He will thank God for what he has at that time. He does not compare himself with others. That was the life of David. Unless we learn, Paul says, godliness and gratefulness, it's what God is looking for. I'm just paraphrasing it. It's next to godliness. That's what he says. We must be grateful. At every stage, that's what God is looking for. A person full of thanksgiving will be grateful. You know, if you don't learn to be grateful, if you are grateful, you look at the chairs every time and you say, hey, you will not compare yourself with anybody. You see, in church, sometimes we compare silently. You see, your brother has bought a new car, you go like, who does he think he is? I also buy a new car. When he parks, you come next week, you make sure you park next to him.
Oh boy.
You will not live like that. Because a person that is full of thanksgiving is grateful to God.
Amen.
So God is the one that gives us good things, and God is the one who satisfies us. Let me finish. The power of thanksgiving. The power of thanksgiving, a person who is always thanking God, he learns to appreciate God and he becomes a grateful person. You never take anything that God has given you for granted, but you are always thankful. Even for the air you breathe, even for the life that God has given you and the fact that God is sustaining you. The verse I quoted earlier on, 1 Timothy 6 verse 8, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. You learn to be content, and when you learn to be content, you become a grateful person. You are contented. You don't compare yourself with anybody. You move out of that circle. And the freedom that comes with it is amazing. People wonder, why is you smiling? It is because you have become a grateful person.
Amen.
Thanksgiving moves the heart of God into action. when you have a need. So a person who is always thankful to God, he moves the heart of God. So that when he has a need in his life, even before he opens his mouth, but because he's a person full of thanksgiving, God is moved into action. Where do I get that? In Mark chapter 6, verse 41, Jesus is faced with a challenge. He's been preaching to 5,000 people for 3 days, and now they're hungry. And he tells his disciples, we need to give them food. They are weak. We can't send them. If we send them, some of them will collapse on the way. The disciples tell you the truth. Abani, even if we put all our salaries, we won't even manage to buy just half of the food. So we can't, Jesus said, but we have to give them something. And then Jesus says, what do you have? A young man comes with, was it 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish? Gives him. Now I want you to picture that. I paint a picture this morning. You are the pastor, you are Jesus. This young man has given you 5 loaves, 2 pieces of fish. You look at the people you have to feed. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And you don't church, there are more women. Eh? Mm-hmm. So let's just do simple maths. If there were 7,000 women, but 5,000 men, how many are they? 12,000. That's children. 15. Hungry people, they're all looking at you. 5 loaves. If you were the pastor, unakala bashiga bani, karamando soto. Lord of heaven. But I want you to see what Jesus did. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave what?
Thanks.
And broke the loaves. Wow. That's all he did. Father, I thank you. Then he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. And the Bible says they all 8 were filled and they had leftovers which filled 12 baskets. That's the power of thanksgiving. You have no idea when you open your mouth and say, Father, I thank you, what God can do for your life. Sometimes we pray. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray. You may say 100 words when all you needed to do was just to say thank you. Especially when you have a child. And I'll tell you, you cannot develop the spirit of thanksgiving if you're not a prayerful person. I repeat. Only people who pray a lot every day develop that spirit. Jesus prayed a lot. He was closer to God. So how do you develop it? Because the closer to God, the more you pray, the more you discover he's an answering God. He answers prayers. He's faithful. When he says, I'll do it, I'll do it. That's why now you come to that point. So when they say their prayers is a night of prayer, come. Because that's the only way you develop an attitude of thanksgiving. In John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, Jesus comes face to face with his friend Lazarus, who had died. He's in the tomb and he's been there for 4 days. Martha has told him at this time, don't even go near the tomb. He is beginning to decay now. There's a smell. You know, nature has started its thing. So don't even try to open it. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that you just need to believe? And then in verse 41, the Bible says, so they took away the stone, because he told them to roll the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. That's why I didn't put it. Sema tukera majani. Ma bembero. Munga mene ma bembero. Wabi na mama zote mungwa maya kanta wisos. Because his prayers are being answered. He's seen what God is doing in his life, in the life of others, as testimonies are being shared. So he says, I knew that you always hear me. But I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. That's all Jesus said. He didn't jump like we would have done if it was today. He didn't say, praise team, sing the best song and let's jump. After that, Lazarus, come forth. The person is back to life. That's the power of thanksgiving. Every time you stand and thank God, you stir up the heart of God. When you go back to him and say thank you, you stir up the heart of God. You remember the 10 guys who had leprosy? Jesus healed them. And as they were going, so Jesus prayed for them and told them, go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible says as they were going, they were healed. One of them says, oh, and he went back. 1 out of 10, 9 continued going to the high priest, happy. And when he went back and got to Jesus, he said, thank you, I am healed. And the Bible says he was made whole. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to research that. When you are healed, it means those guys got healed. You know what leprosy does to you? You may still have the scars to show you had leprosy. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to the other 9 guys who are going. But this one, when Jesus said, be made whole, it means Jesus renewed him so that he couldn't even know he had leprosy. Yes. Power of thanksgiving. Amen. What did he do? He went back to say thank you. What is a good God? But God is a good God. They remained in their huge sins. But this guy was taken to the next level. He's made whole. This morning, as we go into a time of thanksgiving, I just want to challenge you. I want you to look at your life like David would do.
Amen.
Look at where you are coming from. I want you to look at the many things I've done for you.
Yes.
And I want you to praise God. I want you to tell him, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for me.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you my stories. I want you to remember your stories and see where God has brought you from. And when you do that, you're not going to look at your neighbor. David did care. That's why I've been up and the way I know. Because our problem sometimes is we feel like dancing in church. But it's you. It's because of where God has taken you
from.
One day I was dancing, I was telling, I went on the floor. I laid on the floor, chance, and somebody came. I've never seen a crazy man like this. I said, if you knew where God took me from, you would understand why I dance like this. I don't dance for anybody. I dance for my God and my God.
Amen, 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 amen.
Afterwards, I don't even remember. You have to remind me, not in that. Oh, okay. All right. It is well, and I move on.
Amen.
And that's how I want you to thank God and praise God this morning. Now, we're ready to do that, church. Remember that time you were sick. Remember when you were looking for the job. That child you were crying for.
Amen.
This morning you can dance, you can praise him. You won't even look at your neighbor because you are saying, Father, thank you.
Woo!
I know where you took me.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Yes.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.